Radio On The Go News.
With Radio On The Go News, I'm Brian Fancher reporting. Drought conditions beginning to expand in Iowa. The latest U.S. drought monitor shows just under 29% of the state has no drought conditions listed this week when compared to about 30% last week. The entire Radio On The Go broadcast area remains in a severe drought, except the southeast corner of Grundy County and the northeast corner of Floyd County, which are listed as being in a moderate drought. A 50-year-old Eagle Grove man who conspired to distribute methamphetamine was sentenced this week to 5 years in federal prison. Donovan Lowler had been convicted of one count of conspiracy to distribute methamphetamine and possession with the intent to distribute meth. Lowler admitted that he conspired to distribute more than 5 pounds of pure methamphetamine from January 2019 through March 2020 in the Wright and Webster County areas. Once he serves his prison sentence, he must serve a term of 8 years of supervised release. Yesterday morning, the Hampton Police Department arrested 32-year-old Jeremy Bridges of Hampton on the charges of domestic abuse assault while displaying or using a weapon and for obstruction of emergency communications. Bridges is being held at the Bremer County Jail. Wednesday morning, the Hardin County Sheriff's Department arrested 34-year-old Megan Young Carr of New Providence. Was wanted on 2 warrants, one for failing to appear from the original charge of possession of methamphetamine, the other for a probation violation from the original charges of an OWI, and for possession of marijuana. Young Carr was later released from the Hardin County Jail. Yesterday, Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds signed a proclamation that eases transport rules for crews and drivers hauling motor fuels. The proclamation temporarily suspends regulatory provisions of Iowa law pertaining to the hours of service for crews and drivers hauling motor fuels, including gasoline, diesel number one, diesel number two, ethanol, and biodiesel. The proclamation also temporarily suspends provisions of Iowa law pertaining to the movement of oversized and overweight loads of fuel. Increased demand, along with above-average wait times at petroleum product terminals, have created challenges to timely access of these fuels. The proclamation expires on August 28th at 11:59 p.m. During this week's Hardin County Board of Supervisors meeting, board members were asked if any more could be done to get more residents vaccinated against COVID-19. This is Board Chairman B.J. Hoffman.
Is when we get mixed messages on a daily or weekly basis from CDC and then from the government saying, hey, once you get vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. Now it's, oh, if you even are vaccinated, then you still have to wear a mask. And then masks aren't effective. Then masks are effective. And then it just goes back and forth. So people that thought they were being proactive and trying to do the right thing now are being told, well, you did the right thing, but it's still not good enough. And so until there's a clear, concise message from everyone, I don't think people are going to change their opinion.
The percentage of Hardin County residents fully vaccinated against COVID-19 is under 50%. This week, the Hardin County Board of Supervisors approved a request from the County Wellness Committee for immunization funding totaling $4,520. An immunization clinic will be held October 12th for county personnel. Will feature vaccines for the flu, hepatitis, and pneumonia. In other business, the Hardin supervisors approved a 28E agreement with Franklin County concerning their environmental health departments and canceled the August 11th board meeting. The Cerro Gordo County Community Foundation held its 2021 grant award celebration at the Ventura Community Center this week, announcing the distribution of over $100,000 in grants to 30 projects of organizations serving Cerro Gordo County. Among those receiving grants include the City of Doherty Fire Department, which received $6,665 for a bunker gear upgrade. The City of Swaledale Fire Department received $5,000 for an equipment brush truck. The Missouri Fire and Rescue Foundation received $5,300 for turnout gear. And the Rockwell Swaledale Emergency Medical Team received $3,000 for a pager replacement. Decisions on grant awards are determined by a local committee, which consists of volunteers from Cerro Gordo County. During its most recent meeting, the Belmont Clemmie School Board discussed legislative priorities. The board then approved the following priorities: funding and support for mental health services in Iowa schools and across the state. Fund all schools on the same per pupil amount defeat vouchers, remove the arbitrary cap on dropout at-risk funds, and raise the maximum salary under IFERS from $30,000 to $50,000. In other business, the BK School Board approved a three-year agreement of Superintendent Dan Frazier's contract for the years 21 through 24, which includes a 3% increase in salary for the upcoming school year and a 3% increase in salary for the 22-23 school year. The 2021 Franklin County Relay for Life has so far raised $48,299.90, with some money yet to come in. Donations can still be made by mailing them to John's Auto and Truck Repair. That's in care of Relay for Life at Post Office Box 229 in Sheffield. The zip code is 50475. Donations for the 2021 Franklin County Relay for Life will be accepted through August the 15th. A bridge replacement project along Mallard Avenue near Bradford will begin on Monday. The bridge is located between 80th and 90th Streets northwest of Bradford. Construction on the bridge is expected to last into November of 2021. Today's guest on the Radio On The Go Newsmaker program is the new superintendent of the North Butler and Clarksville School Districts, Mark Olmsted, who will talk about his new role and will also discuss the bond issue the school district will vote on in September. The Radio On The Go Newsmaker program airs weekdays over the noon hour on KLMJ, following the news, weather, and obituaries, with archive programs available under the News tab at RadioOnTheGo.com. And an air quality alert is in effect for the Radio On The Go broadcast area until 4 o'clock today. Smoke is expected to remain across much of the state through much of today. During this time, fine particle levels are expected to be in the orange AQI category. That's a level that is considered unhealthy for sensitive groups. Fine particle levels will begin to improve around noon today, and then by mid-afternoon, air quality should improve below alert levels statewide. Sensitive groups include the elderly, those with respiratory or heart disease, and children. The high in the past 24 hours here at our studios, 91, and the low of 62. For Radio On The Go News, Brian Fincher reporting.